Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Dynamic Duo. Performers Alan and Ritter return for Divas and Desserts. For years, they've entertained all over the Permian Basin and state. They remain good friends throughout and still are to this day. Tonight, Dana Ritter and Patsy Allen will be among the 11 divas performing at Divas and Desserts. It's hard to tell exactly how many shows and performances they've done together, but Allen and Ritter estimate they've done about 40 shows over the years. Quote, "We're best buddies and we want to do shows for as long as we can," end quote, Allen said. Quote, "That's one of our main interests together. We just love it," end quote. The dynamic duo has been versatile in their performances as Ritter and Allen can both act and sing. This will be the fifth year of Divas and Desserts, returning after a three-year hiatus, and the two have been a part of it each year. Quote, "This is a nice thing to cap off the year," end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "I'm glad they brought it back. We hope everyone buys a ticket. We'd really love to fill the place up. It's been a tough three-year gap," end quote. Divas and Desserts will start at 6 p.m. today at the MCM Grand Hotel. Tickets and sponsorship can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/3CSJ4ZC2. Ritter's performance on the stage began in 1981 when she was an extra for the show My Fair Lady. A year later, she played Molly Brown. It wasn't until a few years later when Ritter and Allen met up and became friends. Quote, "I didn't meet Patsy until 1986, end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "We were auditioning for a play called Side by Side by Stephen Sondheim. It was a three-person play, two women and one man. That's how we became friends. We just kept this friendship going," end quote. That friendship led to Allen and Ritter forming their own acting troupe throughout the 90s, performing shows throughout the state. Quote, "We traveled together and left our husbands at home," end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "We shop together and do shows together. We traveled all over Texas. We bought a trailer and traveled throughout the state. We would take turns pulling the trailer. We didn't make any money seriously because we spent all of it on props, but we did that for a long time," end quote. While they've since retired that part of their acting career, they still remain busy performing at different events. Quote, "Patsy and I have performed at small parties," end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "We do things once a year for the Midland Lions Club. We went in as showgirls. We've got a wardrobe of clothes that our poor husbands have had to pay for," end quote. Ritter also said that anytime she and Allen are asked to perform, they are free with a laugh. Allen began doing theater in 1968. Quote, "My director was the founder of Permian Playhouse, Annette Holm," end quote, Allen said. Quote, "And then I did mostly musicals out here," end quote. Both have enjoyed their time on the stage, and they said they love coming back to perform in Divas and Desserts and have become good friends with the other divas. Quote, "We enjoy all the women," end quote, Allen said. Quote, "It took us a couple of years, but we've all become really good friends. So we've stayed in contact with each other. Even during COVID, of course, we love singing and we get to sing songs," end quote. Both will perform a duet called Sisters from the classic movie White Christmas. Quote, "We're not going to have the same blue dresses as those ladies, but we are going to be stunning," end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "People won't even care, but they may not be able to see our heads. Each year, they've allowed Patsy and I to do our own solos and duet. That's just been standard, but I think it's cool that they ask us to do Sisters because that's such an iconic movie and song. They play that movie all the time on the old channels," end quote. This year's show will be a Christmas-themed show titled Home for the Holidays. Each different diva will perform a Christmas song. Quote, "Everyone will love all the songs," end quote, Ritter said. Quote, "The sing-alongs, and there's some surprises along the way. It's worth the price of a ticket. Also, you're helping out the institution that's been around forever. You don't want to close the doors. It'd be so nice to keep it open," end quote. Allen is hopeful of seeing a full crowd at this year's show. Quote, "Most of the Christmas parties will be over by December 16th, so Divas would be a nice thing to go to have fun because it is a fun show," end quote, Allen said. Divas and Desserts show director Amanda Lopez has grown up watching both Allen and Ritter perform and is excited to have them back for Divas and Desserts. Quote, "For me, it's super exciting because I grew up seeing them on the stage, so in my head, they're the original Divas," end quote, Lopez said. Quote, "As a kid, I got to see them sing and dance, and they both have such incredible stage presence and voices. So having them, and they have a unique friendship story that originated here at the theater. They've been friends for so many years at this point. Getting to have them in the show is great," end quote. For more information about Basin Theater Works or Divas and Desserts, visit tinyurl.com/YEYCEHDS. Live Nativity returns for 67th year. For years, Second Baptist Church has shared the message of Christmas with the rest of Odessa with its unique annual Live Nativity scene. This year, the Live Nativity returns for a 67th year and will take place from 7 to 9 p.m. December 22nd and 23rd and 7 to 8 p.m. December 24th at Second Baptist Church. Second Baptist Church pastor Jackie Brehm says it's an honor and a privilege to be able to offer the Live Nativity as a gift to the community each year. Quote, "It's an honor to share the story of Jesus and to share the story of his birth and to share the hope that he brings," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "So we're excited to be able to share this with Odessa and the surrounding areas. We've also got our setup ready. We're excited about it this year," end quote. The event started in 1955. Each year, members of the church take part, dressing up as Mary, Joseph, as well as the wise men and shepherds. They also have livestock involved. Quote, "We'll have sheep out in front," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "We'll have a donkey, since we always have a donkey. We'll have music playing. It's about a 30-minute set. We have music and scripture reading. We alternate between the two. It's an opportunity for people to not only see the story, but also hear the story as well," end quote. About 40 people total help take part, with most of the cast members doubling up. Quote, "We have people who do it multiple times," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "We have people who help us get dressed and help us take care of that. We have people who provide us soup, which is great on cold nights. We have 4 people who take care of the animals and helping them get ready. It's probably about 40 or 50 that are helping," end quote. "There won't be too many differences between this year's Live Nativity and in years past." Quote, "Really, this year and last year are going to be very similar," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "We redid our audio last year and added a few things this year. It's going to be very similar to last year. Starting last year, we had a new star put up. One thing that we would like to do this year is we have a food pantry at our church, and we would love for people to come by and bring some non-perishable food or cans to drop off so that we can keep food in our pantry," end quote. The setup for each Live Nativity doesn't take too long. Quote, "It takes a Saturday," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "We gathered on a Saturday and put up the set in our courtyard. We have some folks who dedicate their time to getting it ready. We go through our costumes about a month in advance to make sure they're ready to go. Then we start signing up people right after Thanksgiving so that we can get the slots filled. Then it gets really busy right before with us making sure we have everything ready to go," end quote. "But it's all a labor of love." Quote, "It's great to be able to proclaim the message of Jesus to our community and the message of love, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "It's the message that God loves us. I heard someone say that our Live Nativity is our Christmas card to the community. It's an opportunity to tell the community that we love them and that God loves them," end quote. It's a show that's also become a part of other families' Christmas traditions. Quote, "We're excited because we have people who say it's their family tradition to come by and view the Live Nativity," end quote, Brehm said. Quote, "We have people who look forward to coming by, and we're excited about that as well. It's neat to be a part of other people's Christmas traditions," end quote. For more information about the Live Nativity, go to tinyurl.com/KSS8UJRV. Voces D carolers sing for charity. Each holiday season, the carolers of Voces D have traveled to different places in the Odessa Midland area, bringing a little bit of Christmas cheer and raising money for a good cause. This year has featured a longer performance schedule than in the past, as Voces D raises money for this year's charity, St. Joseph Ministries. Voces D is a West Texas caroling group that has been around since 1989. Rob Montgomery is one of the creative directors of the group, as well as one of the original members. When the group started, it consisted of just 4 people, including Montgomery himself. Quote, "There were 4 youth ministers that we had done some stuff together," end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, "Some people asked us to come caroling for them. So the 4 of us got together for the first 4 or 5 years, and we'd go to friends' houses and families. Sometimes we'd go into the hospitals and nursing homes to sing. Then somebody asked us if we could do a gig for a larger group. We gathered some folks into the group and went and sang," end quote. From there, the group began to expand and now consists of over 20 members. The group performs Christmas carols at nursing homes and other places and raises money for local nonprofit organizations. Quote, "At some point, somebody decided that we should sing for some charity," end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, "We don't have a checking account. Nobody pays us directly. The checks are made directly for the charity. It's been 30 years since we started, but we've gotten to the point where we charge $200 to sing for somebody in the Midland Odessa area, and that check goes to the charity, end quote. The proceeds go directly toward the charity. Quote, we like to choose the charities that are just getting off the ground. This year we're doing St. Joseph Ministries. We like to pick a charity that doesn't have much publicity, and we're giving them publicity and a boost, end quote. This year the group is doing 25 shows, and we'll finish up next week. Voces D kicked off its season by performing at the Basin Abstract and Tidal Christmas Party at the Odessa Country Club last month. Volunteer members of the group come from the Tall City and Odessa. Quote, we're generally folks from Midland, but we have some folks from Odessa, end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, we've done many numbers in Odessa. This was the first year we did a gig before Thanksgiving, end quote. The group performs a cappella, and rehearsals begin a month or so before the Christmas season. Each gig is about half an hour, with Christmas songs ranging from both church hymns to other holiday favorites. Quote, we rehearse in the months of October and November about once a week, end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, we do a 30-minute gig. It's sacred and secular songs. We sing Charles Wesley, Eartha Kitt, and Elvis Presley. We've covered the gamut. It's a different group for each gig, depending on when folks can be available, end quote. The carolers come by wearing festive outfits. Quote, we wear Christmas gear of all sorts and festive hats, end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, one guy has a Santa dreadlock hat and another has a roasted turkey. We wear our ugly sweaters. We have a really good time. We have a good time at rehearsals and the gigs. Sometimes we're just background music for some of the gigs, and other times we're the stars of the show, end quote. In the past, Montgomery says they've raised between $8,000 to $9,000. This year, they're hopeful of raising more. Quote, this year, we're hoping it'll be more significant than that because we have about 25 shows, end quote, Montgomery said. In previous years, Voces D has done about 14 gigs. Quote, we do it because we love singing, end quote, Montgomery said. Quote, it's a good family. We love singing, and we love the opportunity to give to some charity in this form. It gives the charity a leg up, end quote. For more information, go to tinyurl.com/2p9a7e4r. Families enjoy tradition of Christmas lights night flights. Midland. For Kellen Zindel and his family, going up into the air and viewing the Christmas lights from above around the Tall City has become a tradition each December. They're one of the many people who booked a spot in the High Sky Wings Christmas lights night flights this year. Quote, it's a really unique experience, especially in Midland, end quote, Zindel said, whose family lives in Midland. Quote, we love the pilots here. We love getting in the old planes. It's just a great experience to see the beauty of Midland from the sky, end quote. For 9 years now, the High Sky Wing has offered a unique way for people to view the holiday decorations from above as families ride in the cabin of a Beech C-45 airplane and enjoy a 30-minute flight. Flights take off and land back from the CAF at Midland International Air and Spaceport. For Kellen and the rest of his family, which includes his wife Becky and two sons, Sawyer 9 and Finley 6, this December was their second consecutive year of riding in the Christmas lights night flights. Quote, my favorite thing about it is the joy and excitement that I see in my children's eyes when they go up in the plane, end quote, Becky said. For 10 total nights this month, passengers have been able to fly in the Beech C-45, also known as the Spirit of West Texas, and enjoy the Christmas lights splendor in the area. The flights are still being offered, taking place from 6 to 9:30 p.m. each night on December 16th, 17th, 18th, 20th, and 21st. The plane seats 5 people. Cabin seats are $75 per person and $145 for the co-pilot seat. Customers also have the choice of purchasing all 5 seats on the aircraft for $395. For members of the CAF, it's a fun tradition that they enjoy doing each holiday season. Joe Gammertsfelder is one of the numerous pilots that flies the plane during the night flights at the High Sky Wing, which is a part of the Commemorative Air Force. He's been flying for the CAF for 4 years now and has been a professional pilot since 2000. Quote, first of all, it's beautiful up there, end quote, Gammertsfelder said when describing the flights. Quote, when the sun goes down, the wind generally dies down, and it's just a really pleasant flight. The thing I like most about it is when we have young children who might be flying for the first time or their first time doing Christmas flights, and that's fun to be a part of, end quote. The Christmas flights have been a unique way for the High Sky Wing to stay involved with the community, and it also offers a chance to educate people about vintage airplanes. Quote, that's what we're here for, end quote, Gammertsfelder said. Quote, we're here to educate and inspire the next generation and to show them some of the machines that not too many generations ago were cutting-edge technology. Now we consider it mold, but it wasn't too long ago when it was a pretty slick machine out there. I enjoy doing that. This airplane was built in 1952. It's old, but it's not terribly old. Every year, they're inspected thoroughly, so I don't have a problem with them. They're safe. They're just a little bit older, end quote. For Kammertsfelder, his favorite part of flying is the freedom. Quote, once you leave the ground, you can go anywhere you want, end quote, Kammertsfelder said. Quote, there's also the fact that you have to come back to the ground, which is an added challenge, but I enjoy it, end quote. He talked more about everyone's reactions on each flight, especially from the children. Quote, the thing is, we'll take off, and there's not too many lights around Midland, but then we climb up and level off and turn, and they'll see the lights for the first time, end quote, Kammertsfelder said. Quote, and they'll go, wow, this is great. They're pretty much enthralled for the whole flight. They always talk about how much fun it was when they get off. I've never had one say they didn't like it, or at least they didn't tell us if they didn't like it, end quote. The flight path goes around grasslands and some of downtown Midland, but Kammertsfelder says it changes up a little bit on each flight. Quote, we kind of change it up, depending on where the lights are, end quote, he said. Quote, also, it depends on the wind. We circle around the grasslands, but downtown Midland is very pretty, so we spend some time around there. We don't go around Midland Air Park because that's another airport, but we'll fly over the high school, and I might circle over someone's house, depending on where it is, end quote. For the Zindels, last year was their first time taking part in the Christmas lights night flights, and their children loved it so much they had to come back this year. Quote, it was good to see how many people actually are so involved in Christmas, end quote, Callan said. Quote, some people write things on the top of their roof. The kids really love it. It's more for them, but it's still fun for adults. It's a really fun experience, end quote. However, it's not just children that enjoy the flights, as plenty of adults have also had fun being up in the air. Caden Reese, who is in the process of getting his pilot's license, got to ride in the co-pilot seat during the night flight on Wednesday night. Quote, it was awesome, end quote, Reese said. Quote, it was very fun. Getting to fly in one of those planes was pretty cool, end quote. Reese, who lives in Midland, said he's flown a Cessna 172, but noticed the difference in flying in an older aircraft. Quote, it was very different from the Cessna 172 that I'm used to flying, end quote, Reese said. Quote, there's a lot more bells and whistles to that plane because it's a multi-engine and it's a lot older, but it's really awesome, end quote. The High Sky Wing began this year's Christmas lights night flights last week, but had to cancel two of those nights because of foggy conditions. While the flights are still being offered, Kammertsfelder warned that reservations fill up quickly. Quote, we're pretty booked up through there, might be some spots available, end quote, Kammertsfelder said. Quote, but it's still a very big deal. We have some repeat customers, end quote. Children must be 5 years or older to fly. To book a flight, email rides at highskywing.org or call 432-254-6282. For more information about the Christmas Lights Night Flights or the CAF, go to tinyurl.com/56HD4NJR. Lone Star Brass Quintet to hold Christmas concert. The Lone Star Brass Quintet will return for its first chamber concert of the 2022-23 season with a holiday-themed performance. The concert, also titled Bass and Brass Christmas Bonanza, will take place at 7:30 p.m. December 20th at the Ree Great House Recital Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The Lone Star Brass members are a part of the West Texas Symphony. The quintet consists of Eric Baker on trumpet, Ben Fairfield, also on trumpet, Scott Millichamp on horn, Stuart Rhodes on trombone, and Arturo Galvin on tuba. Other ensembles that have performed so far this season include the Permian Basin String Quartet and the West Texas Winds. The Lone Star Brass Quintet usually performs one of its concerts at this time of the year. Next week's performance will include members from other symphonies around the area, including Lubbock, Amarillo, and San Angelo. Quote, typically in December, the Lone Star Brass Quintet will play a holiday show, just the five of us, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, this year we've invited the rest of the brass section from the West Texas Symphony and some of our friends from the Amarillo and Lubbock Symphony and San Angelo Symphony, so we're putting together a full orchestral brass section with some percussion as well, end quote. The evening will be filled with holiday tunes since it's close to the Christmas season. Quote, we've got some really great arrangements from pretty big names in the brass world, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, there's something in this show for everybody. We're going to open with some standard Christmas carols like Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, two pieces that everybody would recognize. We'll also play a few songs arranged by Anthony DeLorenzo, who's a fantastic trumpet player himself and conductor. I think he lives in the Pacific Northwest now, but he's been all over. Some of the pieces of his that we're going to do were actually arranged for the New York Philharmonic Brass at one of their holiday concerts several years ago, end quote. Of course, there will be plenty of the Christmas classics that people will recognize right away. quote, we're also going to do a compilation of some of those famous holiday specials like How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's going to end our show, end quote. The concert will include portions where the Lone Star Brass performs just as a quintet. Other parts of the show will include members from other symphonies. Quote, the Lone Star Brass Quintet is going to play some quintet pieces as well, but most of the show is going to be four trumpets, four trombones, four horns, a tuba, and some French horns, end quote, Fairfield said. Fairfield is excited about this collaboration. Quote, it's great, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, like I said, when you see the larger full-time groups do this, you can see how much fun the performers have, and we're not isolated. We know these people, they're friends, it's a chance for us to get together with some friends and make some music. That's one of the best things that we get to do, end quote. He got the idea from some of the larger symphonies around the country, including the Dallas Symphony, New York, and Chicago symphonies. Quote, I've been to some of those shows before and thought this is a fun thing that audiences really love, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, the performers really like getting together to perform that music, so I figured, why don't we bring that here? So that's what we're going to start to do, end quote. December is usually a busy time of the year for everyone, and that especially includes members of the West Texas Symphony. Earlier this month, the West Texas Symphony had its Sounds of the Season Holiday Pops concert. A week later, they were busy accompanying the Midland Ballet Company in its performance of The Nutcracker. Quote, there's a lot going on with the West Texas Symphony right now, which is great because December is a great time to be a musician, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, yes, it's busy, but we get to do a lot of really neat things, end quote. Fairfield reflected on this current season at the West Texas Symphony, which began in September under its new name. Quote, we all agree that it's been great so far, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, we've done some really good repertoire. We started the season with Mahler's First Symphony, which was a great way to kick off and unveil the new name. We had a couple of the Pops concerts. We played with Asleep at the Wheel in October and another Masterworks in November. We've enjoyed introducing this new name with some great work, and we're going to continue doing that in the spring. We have some Sibelius coming up and Brad Lely, who is a saxophone player who now teaches at University of North Texas. He's going to do a great Pops concert in March. We're going to do the movie Back to the Future at the end of the season in May. We've done some great work, and we're looking forward to doing some more, end quote. Fairfield is hopeful that everyone can make it to the concert. Quote, I really hope that people can come out to this show and get excited for it, end quote, Fairfield said. Quote, it's a chance for everybody to catch their breath during Christmas week. If you want roughly an hour and a half to listen to Christmas music and watch us have fun, then come out and we can continue this tradition each year, end quote. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/YZV72KVH. Polar Express Day at Ad Invita. At Ad Invita Private School Thursday, the lights were down, students were in PJs, and they were being served hot chocolate and popcorn as they watched a showing of the movie Polar Express. They'd been learning about the Polar Express in class, and so we wanted to do something exciting for them for their Christmas party before they left to winter break. So we had all the kids participate, even our upper grade kids. A couple of them have trains, end quote, said Linda Subia, founder, principal, and educator at Ad Invita. Students made the trains at home with their parents, or they were supplied with decorated plastic tubs. They also got train tickets. About 35 youngsters took part from pre-kindergarten 3 and 4 all the way up to 8th grade. Quote, they get to come in their PJs like the movie. The whole theme of the movie is about the Polar Express going to the North Pole. We're going to serve them popcorn and hot chocolate like they do in the movie and just pretend that they're on the Polar Express, end quote, Zubia said. The plot is that the Polar Express comes to a little boy's house, picks him up at midnight on Christmas Eve, and they fly to the North Pole. Quote, then he gets a special gift from Santa, which is a bell off of one of the reindeer. When they take him back home, he loses the bell because he has a hole in his pajamas. When he wakes up the next morning, he finds the bell wrapped up under his tree. Santa had taken him the bell, end quote, Zubia said. The theme of it is, if you don't believe in Christmas, you can't hear the bell ringing. Quote, he was saying that his mom couldn't hear the bell. All his friends could hear the bell, but as they grew older, they couldn't hear the bell anymore. So the theme of it is, if you believe in Christmas, then you can hear the bell, end quote, she added. Zoe Soto, an 8-year-old third grader, thought the Polar Express was great, and being able to come into school in her pajamas made it cozier. Quote, I think it's so fun. I imagine myself on that train, end quote, Soto said. Fasti Urias is a 13-year-old 8th grader. Quote, I'm in middle school, so being in middle school, it's fun to have memories and things to remember, especially since it's my last year, end quote, Urias said. Natalie Hackett, an 11-year-old sixth grader, said she anticipated Fun Thursday knowing it was going to focus on Polar Express. She said watching the movie always makes her happy. She appreciated not having to get dressed for school Thursday. Quote, after all of our hard work and all this stuff that we've done, it's nice to just have a day to relax and watch a movie, end quote, Hackett said. Quote, Christmas is just an amazing holiday. It's always fun to celebrate it, and it's fun to celebrate it with your friends and family. But it's even better to spend it here at school with your friends and hanging out, watching a movie, and not always studying for a test, end quote, she added. X-rays are the best bet for an exact diagnosis. Dear Dr. Roach, how do I know if I have arthritis? My left leg makes a slight cracking noise in my knee when I walk down the stairs, but no pain. However, when I go for a long drive, I limp when getting out of the car, which kind of goes away and does not hurt my knee. Long walks also bother me. When I went to a specialist, he said I needed therapy. I went to some sessions, but it did not help. When I told my doctor, he said, quote, oh, that's just arthritis, end quote. Note, this is the leg that was broken when a drunk driver hit me at age 22. I'm now in my mid-60s. Also, my family has no history of arthritis. I also don't know how someone can give me therapy if they don't know what's wrong. Answer. I don't know for sure whether you have arthritis. Many people in their 60s do have some arthritis, usually osteoarthritis, the most common type. The noises joints make when they bend, especially under pressure, might or might not indicate arthritis. The fact that you are stiff after being immobile in a car for a while does suggest osteoarthritis. Severe injury to a joint can cause osteoarthritis. When we see osteoarthritis in just one joint, the one with a history of trauma, that's likely the underlying reason. Osteoarthritis does not necessarily run in families. So even with the diagnosis being fairly likely, I personally get an x-ray done at least once on my patients who I think have osteoarthritis. There are many less common conditions that can mimic osteoarthritis, which may have different treatments. Joint diseases due to deposition of crystals into the joint, like gout and especially pseudogout, can sometimes look like ordinary osteoarthritis, even though they usually have distinct flares. A chunk of cartilage that hardens in the joint can look like osteoarthritis. Psoriasis has a particular arthritis, normally in smaller joints, that can be mistaken for osteoarthritis. This is very dangerous because, like rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis can be very destructive to a joint. I do think it makes sense to know what exactly you are treating before treating it, and x-rays are very, very good at making the diagnosis. Exercise and physical therapy are first-line treatments for osteoarthritis, but may take a while to start working. Many medications are also used. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby. Dear Abby, my father passed away a couple of years ago, and my mother passed on recently. I have noticed something that I would like to share with your readers. When I came back to work after the funeral, many well-meaning friends and co-workers approached me to express their sympathy. Instead of a short message or a hug, the majority shared stories about the deaths of their loved ones. Many of them were fairly long. I believe they shared with me to empathize that they understood what I was going through. What they didn't understand was that I didn't have the energy to listen to their stories after what I had just been through. After Mom died, 7 people came up to me and did this. I was so drained afterward that I had to go home. The next day, one of my dear friends came into my office, handed me a thermos of homemade soup, told me she loved me and was here for me, hugged me, and left. It was the most uplifting moment I had experienced since my mother's passing. Please tell your readers that while they have been through trials, and these trials enable them to empathize with grieving survivors, so soon after that death is not the time to share these stories. Tired in Topeka. Dear Tired, many people don't know what to say when someone dies. While the individuals who offered their extended condolences meant well, I'm sure they would have been shocked had they been told it left you unable to function. Not everyone grieves in the same way. Readers, it is important to take your cues from the person who is grieving. I'm sharing this letter with you because the writer has a point. Sometimes the most effective message is a short one. Dear Abby, my sister doesn't want children. I fully support her decision, and I'm happy she knows herself well enough to make it. She does, however, have what she refers to as her fur babies. She has a wonderful, generous heart and is very charitable. My children have been blessed by their aunt's generosity. My issue is, lately she has made a few comments about how I don't bring holiday gifts for her dogs. It's remarks like, well, my fur babies don't get gifts from their aunt. Am I missing something here? Should I feel guilty for not adding her pets to my gift list because she considers them equal in value to human children? I can't think of her dogs like I do my nieces and nephews. Am I wrong? On to fur babies. Dear Aunt, you may not consider your sister's dogs as equal to human children, but she does. Gift-giving is supposed to be reciprocal. Your sister has been generous with your children, and you now know it bothers her that her fur babies have been overlooked. When the next gift-giving cycle rolls around, I hear there are great sales going on now, drop by a pet store. It is the kind thing to do, and it shouldn't break the bank.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.